good to be in the Lord's house, amen? Amen. Y'all may as well smile. We're going to be here till about 7 o'clock, amen? Amen. Don't, you know, it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. I don't want you to leave it wore out, and at least I don't want to be the cause of it, amen? But it is good to be in the Lord's house. We do appreciate the opportunity of being here, and your pastor asked us to come again. We just come back from the Philippines, actually the 1st of November, and I was talking with Pastor. We actually had planned to stay. I think the storm hit 4 days after we got home. We went in between the earthquake and the typhoon, amen, that had 3,000 aftershocks when we were there. The first night we flew in after, you know how it goes, it takes about 27, 28 hours to get there. So you've been up almost 2 days till you finally reach there. Then can't sleep. It's 3 o'clock in the morning there, but it's supper time, amen. I'm looking for some Vienna sausage or something ready to eat. And preacher and Brother Vernon, the men went to sleep, and I was laying there about 3 o'clock that Wednesday morning, and the whole place started shaking and just kept shaking, amen. I'm on the second floor of the house we stayed in, and laying on the bed, and I thought, well, Lord, this is it, amen. It's time to come home. And they said, what'd you do? I didn't do nothing. Well, I don't need to get out of bed. Where was I going to go? You know, I mean, like, but we had done put it in the Lord's hands. But do pray for the people of the Philippines. Had a great, great time over there with those Filipino people. I love the Philippines. I love their hearts. And I guess one thing that really always blesses but yet burdens me is when you go there and preach. I tell them, I've been there 4 times. You preach on hell, the altar's full. You preach on heaven, the altar's full. You preach on service, the altar's full. I preached on the heart, and the pastor's daughter come to me weeping. When we got ready to eat, she said, Pastor Joe, when you started preaching, I felt like I need to come to the altar before you even got into the first point. I mean, just wanting something from the Lord, amen. Simple people, loving people, and of course, you know the devastation that's there now, and I know some of your missionaries, some of our missionaries, other pastors I know, we're trying to help one of our men that was in the island of the northern of Cebu in Bogo City. But the highlight of my trip was to go, well, I had the privilege of going to the Now City Jail. It's just north of Cebu. That's my second time having an opportunity to go into there. Brother John Tanube, a national missionary, got us in. And we went in on a Saturday. And while I was there, my pastor and the deacon that went with us went to Mindanao, Brother Ram Tanube's place. And they were having a children's feeding ministry. A lot of the missionaries there do this once a month. And they had about 450 children there, several. A good number of them asked the Lord to save them. It was a blessing. And we went into the jail. And when we got there, of course, it's Saturday. The Seventh-day Adventist was supposed to have service. And Brother John went in. He's a diplomat, I guess you might say. He said, Preacher, just hold on. Let me go talk to the folks in charge. And he had prepared a little meal for the men. We had 249 men, 3 cell blocks. It's a little bit different than here. They were stacked 2 high or 2 wide and 3 high on little 2x2 bed frames. And like a 1-inch mat. But after about 10 minutes or 15 minutes, a lady that was in charge come over, and he had told her that I was coming and wanted to come preach to the men. And she said, Preacher, can you do it in 30 minutes? I said, can we start now? Amen. Let's don't waste no time. Let's get on in the bars. And we had 30 minutes, an opportunity to go in and preach to those men. Just a simple message on the cross. And had, well, the one guy said over 170. I counted 30 hands that went up where I could see. That wanted to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I told them that was the highlight of my trip, amen. And as I went back out and I was showing a picture to one of the men, they let us make some pictures from the outside while we were in. And the hallway's about the length of the building. I'm standing in the back looking down another hallway. The bars that you can't really see, they're standing 3 deep in the bars. About 110 degrees, amen. I had one brother ask me if the air conditioner's on. I told him, yeah, there was a fellow behind me with a little fan about that big just working. I think it's working. He said, Pastor, I'm going to try to help keep you cool. I don't know if he made me cool or worked himself up a sweat. Amen. But it was a blessing. As I went back out, as we were stepping on little benches to get out, 2 of the men that sat there with tears in their eyes said, Preacher, I'll see you in heaven. Amen. And I'm telling you, that was the highlight of my trip, amen, is to get over to men that can't come to the meeting we preached, that can't come to the services we had. And God opened the door for us to go in again. And preached to 249 men, had a PA system. I couldn't even see all the men where they were, but they had it fixed where they could hear the message. And then, of course, Brother John went in behind me as I preached in my version of English, amen. And then Brother John went behind us, and he gave an invitation in Cebuana, their language, just a simple message about receiving the man on the cross. But I was excited about that, and then, of course, had a chance to preach a mission conference Brother Arnold Tangy with my pastor, and he said there's a bunch of pastors that could not have a mission conference. He brought 25 preachers and pastors into that meeting. Some 300 stayed on the camp there, stayed on the church property on little rubber mats, and he fed them three times a day. We had two services a day for 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and saw hundreds of them coming, getting some help. What Brother Joshua Ochia, if I pronounced his name right, sent me a text or an email after the storm, and he said, "Preacher, I appreciate the preaching. It's helped me to stand true in the situation we're facing now." And to me, that's what it's all about, amen. It's not about me. It's about what God can do through some old country folks that just give their heart and life to the Lord. And do keep praying for those folk. We're putting together a little money. We're going to try to mail to our missionary, send actually our missionary this week. And I'm grateful to have a part in that. We had an opportunity, Brother Arnold, I think the preacher may have met him last year when he was in. He's got a printing press sitting there. It's paid for. The plates and the paper, everything's there. They're in the process now of getting the Bible, the plates prepared for the Bible. He said for about $1,250, he can print those. He can get the plates and they can print a Bible, a King James Bible, for about $2. We can't ship them there for that, amen. So Lord's blessed us. We're going to try to send a little money toward getting those plates together. Right there in the village of Talisize, I've got two men that are here every day. They print their own tracts and stuff right there on that printing press, as well as another press that God's blessed them to have. But he said, we want to print the King James Bible. He showed me some of the Bibles that they're printing, that they will be printing, that another church, a group has printed for them. He said, we can print a Bible for $2 U.S., a whole, he said, we're not going to do a New Testament. We're going to do a whole Bible, because that's what we want them to have, is the whole Bible. And so many open doors, so many opportunities, amen. And they're building. Of course, buildings are now going to have to be redone. Someone asked me this morning, said, how long do you think it'll take some of them to recover? Some of them probably never will recover where they were before 2 weeks ago. I mean, it's just, you've seen some of the pictures. We've seen some that Brother Jacob, when he shared, he sent to us, he's getting married the 28th of December, fixing to marry his bride, and he sent me some pictures of his place. He said, preacher, all the homes are gone. And they're still standing there in front of what's left of their home, smiling. And Miss Ruth, Brother Arnold's wife, she said, preacher, you got to understand Filipino people, and of course the earthquake that came just prior to our coming in. She said, they've just lost everything. They see a camera, they're smiling. It's just the Filipino people, it's just the way they are. They just take it for granted and begin to build. After the earthquake on Tuesday, before we flew in that following Monday, they started preparing. Actually, the church where we preached could seat 600 people, had a balcony in the back, had an overhang on the one side, and the earthquake had caused the building to begin to sag where there was no columns underneath. And he had an engineer come in the next day and look, and he said, preacher, you need to put columns soon, now. And when we got there, half the columns were already up. They put 10 columns underneath that side of the building within about 8 or 9 days, doing everything by hand, cutting 3/4 inch rebar with a hacksaw and just all those things. It was just a blessing to be around them, be with them, and to see them finish that up before we started the meeting. And but do pray for the Filipino people. So many lives have lost. I don't know, 3,600 or something like that, I think is what they're saying the death toll is possibly now. We really don't know. But what a blessing to have been able to go over and preach to those dear folks. Do pray for them. This year in the prisons here in North and South Carolina, we've had somewhere around 121 professions of faith, and we praise God for that. What Philippians says, church, that's fruit that abounds to your account. Amen. It's not something I can do on my own. I appreciate everything you folk do for us, the friendship we've had with your preacher for, I don't know, the last, what, 6, 7, 8 years, I guess, now, and the friendship with some of you dear folk, and the opportunity to be here and preach on pencils and salt and just all kind of stuff, you know. And as a matter of fact, I was in the prison at South Carolina down in Livesey last week. We had a revival Thursday, Friday, closed out last night. One of the guys came up and said, preacher, said, I keep hearing about this pencil message. You haven't preached it this year. And they want me to come back, bring them back in, preach them again there. But I want to give you a blessing that happened. We closed revival out there last night. We matter of fact, we come back in Friday. I was back in prison Saturday, amen, trying to get right back where we're supposed to be. I stay locked up most of the time. Got locked up about 5 times last week, amen. But they keep letting me out so far, praise the Lord. But do pray for something that's really been bothering us the last year and a half in prison ministry. I've been in almost 14 years now. Usually in a jail or a prison setting, when you get a man to admit there's a problem, he'll seek help. But the last year and a half, they've gotten a lot like our Baptist churches. This past Friday night, we had 6 men raise their hand lost. Not a one moved. Do pray for them. But the blessing is, one of them was a Muslim man. He was there Friday and Saturday night. And I work with Brother Jason Kirsch with Living Letters Prison Ministry. He's a missionary that works with us. He's the missionary chaplain of that camp. When I come off the mountain this morning to get signaled, I had a text. And he said, Brother Joe, just wanted to let you know. And he preaches there every Sunday morning. So after service this morning, I led that Muslim man to the Lord. Hallelujah. That makes it worthwhile. Amen. This man seemed like a very educated man. But he was a man, he told preacher Kirsch, he said, I'm seeking for the truth. And God, through these meetings and through the work of Chaplain Kirsch prior to our coming, and then even this morning, God led that man to trust in himself. That's what it's all about, amen. Do pray for them, the prison ministry, the men behind bars. Excuse me, pray for more laborers, amen. We're constantly looking for laborers. I'm going to be looking tonight in the book of Philippians. I've been praying, wrestling several things about what to do. I want to deal God being my helper tonight on, I know it's missions month, on three things every missionary needs. Three things every missionary needs. But while you find your place there, pray for Brother Adam Thacker. Brother Adam and Miss Autumn have worked with my wife and I for about 2 years now. When he came to us, he's 26, about 24 years old, seeking what God wanted. He kind of had a burden for Maine, the state of Maine. And God allowed him to make a mission trip up there last December, I believe it was. He took his Christmas vacation, and he and his wife flew up and come back all excited. He said, Preacher, God wants me to go to Maine as a missionary. He went back up in July and met a pastor who's been there 30 couple of years now. And through the ailments, he's in his 70s. He's been praying for several years for a young man to come in and take over the work that he's been pastoring for the last 30 couple of years. And through their conversation and prayer, he feels like that's where God wants him. Lord willing, the 31st of April, he's planning to move, trying to raise a little bit of support to kind of help for a couple of years, and then hope with the hopes of relinquishing that support and taking over that church. Do pray for him that God will have his will and way. That's exciting to me. And you know, he said, Brother Joe, he said, man, I hate to tell you I'm leaving. And we had prayed, if it be the Lord's will, that God would allow him to stay with us. But I told him, I said, brother, I look at it as another place to go preach. Amen. I said, you go where God wants you. Do pray for him. I think he said 2% of the folks of Maine go to church. I'm not talking about overseas. I'm talking about right here in America. About 2%. If I remember correctly what he told me, about 2% go to church. But he's got a little group up there that's really wanting him and Miss Autumn, his dear wife, to come. And the Lord's lining things up for him. He left the prison with us on the 2nd of November. And on his way home, he was hit in the back end by a drunk driver. And they're working on his car, fixing his car now. He and his wife are fine. We're grateful for that. They have both had a few little bumps and bruises. But I say that to say this. Pray for more laborers. Pray for more men and more women that'll say, hey, missions is about giving, but missions is about going. Amen. Missions is about more men and women, young or old, that'll step out. Matter of fact, Brother Matt from Doubt Rainbow, Brother Wayne Jones Church, been helping us about a year and a half now. Just opened his first prison last month, Hope Correctional, right out about 9 miles from Rainbow Baptist Church. And I had the privilege of going down with him and helping him in that first service. He'll have his second service there next Tuesday. I won't be able to make that one, but then on the third Tuesday of next month, we're going down again to help him, to try to help him get his feet under him and get some experience. In fact, he was with us the last 3 days there at Liberty. He said, Preacher, he said, I want to do something for God. And I'm convinced, church, that if we're ever going to reach the 7.2 million that are in prison, parole, jail, or under some form of supervision by the state or government of the United States of America, we're going to have little churches everywhere reaching out to those around them. I can't do it so much. I'll go, as Preacher said, I'll go wherever. Amen. I've been invited to Honduras in January. Preacher had never been wanting us to go, and seems like the Lord's lining that thing up. I said, man, I just got back, and but I said, I ain't never been. That'd be a good place to go. We're going to build a church and do all kind of stuff. Don't know. We're supposed to be speaking with them this week, but we're praying, seeking God's direction there for what he would want us to do. There's so much to do, so little time. So much that needs to be done. But yet sometimes as I travel across America and even across other countries, it seems like we as God's people are getting lax and lazy. We don't want to do anything. We don't want to step out. We don't want to leave our comfort zone. I'm like that. Until God called me to preach, I didn't ever want to leave Catawba County, amen, let alone North Carolina. I wasn't coming to South Carolina. I didn't have nothing I'd ever lost down here. And then God called me to preach, and 3 weeks later moved to Greenville. Sat on Dr. Harold Seidler's ministry for 4 years. What a blessing. But it didn't happen. And I said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, let me go. Amen. I tell the Lord all the time, Lord, if they won't go, I'll go. Wherever it is, if you'll let me go. Like Brother Ward said the other day, he said, Brother Joe, I wish, and I feel the same way, so I just wish there was two of me and I could go in two places at the same time. But the only way we can do that is through missions giving. Going and giving work hand in hand together. We've got 34 missionaries in our church. Sun never sets. The sun never sets on the ministry of this church. Amen. Because you're giving and because you're going. The ministries you've got going on here, you're doing your part here, but yet I look at all these. I like looking at missions. Usually if you find me in a church, you'll find me by the missionary letters. I want to see what's going on. See where things are happening. Because, folks, that's what it's all about. When that last soul gets in, we're going home. Well, we can cry about how bad it is here in America, and it seems like it's getting worse and worse by the day, but that last soul is going to get in one day, and we're going home. Amen. I tell guys all the time, it may as well be an inmate somewhere or an ex-con somewhere. Let me give you this, and I'll read the scriptures, and I just want to share from my heart with you a little bit tonight about missions or missionaries, and three things I believe it's important for us. Finances, of course, we all know that, but there's some other things a missionary needs. And this church, whether you realize it or not, has given it to me and my family, and I'm grateful for that. But this year, I had the blessing. While I was in the Philippines, a man I met at Lincoln Correctional was in the Ukraine. Been out about 8 years. He called me when he got back. He was all excited and all hyped up. He's a builder by trade. And he said, Preacher, he said, you know, I remember when I met you down in Lincoln Correctional. He was saved, had gotten his life in a mess, got his life back on track. I worked with him a couple years there. He's been out a number of years now, lives in Indianapolis, Indiana. And he went on his first mission trip to the Ukraine in October. I left October 21st. He left October 25th. And he's emailing, trying to get a hold of me while I'm over there. Talking about, man, look at the pictures. It's awesome about what God was doing. This is a guy I met in prison. He's now going to mission field, doing mission projects, doing mission. Has he had struggles? Yeah, he's going through some issues right now, needs prayer. But he said, Preacher, by the grace of God, tell them in, just keep their heads up and keep their eyes on Jesus, and it'll all work out. That was a blessing to have had a part in his ministry and now see him going working on, I think he put a couple roofs on or something while he's over. And he's not a preacher, but he said, Preacher, I can still do missions. Amen. He plays guitar and sings, and we fellowship together, that I couldn't even speak their language. I worked 3 days with folks I couldn't even communicate with, helping to build. That's what it's about, is helping people, reaching out, and seeing folk come to know the Lord and seeing their lives changed. Seeing those, now we saw, I'll be honest, as I come out of that jail in Danau City, we saw some men there that were just as hard as when we went in. There were three or four sitting on those pews, would have probably liked to have done something to me if they were able. I don't know by the looks on their faces. I see that in some Baptist churches sometimes too, amen. But I'm going to be in a heart, but I don't know their heart, but as you look at their faces, you wonder, did God do anything in their lives? But you look around and see those others that God's touched, and see those others that are broken and said, Preacher, I needed that. Preacher, that's what I needed. But pray for laborers. Philippians chapter 2 this evening. If you'll stand, I want to read just a couple verses and just share a few thoughts in my heart in about 15 minutes. Philippians chapter 2. Of course, the church of Philippi, they were special to the Apostle Paul, excuse me, and his missionary endeavors. In verse 19 of Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Verse 20, he said, For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Verse 22, But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Father, I love you this evening. Lord, I love these folk, and Lord, I pray you'd help us today as we stand here in these few moments that we have, Lord, to challenge them and to remind us about what you've got in plan and in store for each of us. Lord, bless the reading of the word. Bless the preaching, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I will give you tonight, God being my helper, three things every missionary needs. And the first thing that comes to my mind as I think of Brother Adam leaving, Brother Matthew coming in, is a missionary needs partners or fellow helpers. He needs somebody to work with him. Amen. I'll be honest, I miss Brother Jerry. I told Becca, I said, it's going to be different. He's always here joking and carrying on. He was a fellow laborer to your pastor and others. I was looking on the wall and been here And that's a missionary needs those people. They need somebody to work with them. They need those fellow laborers. Paul said, I've got a man who's like-minded. Amen. That's what I think of Brother Curtis. A blessing to work with him there at Liberty as they work with Living Letters Prison Ministries. And I told several this week, I said, he's like-minded. He and I, we have the same mind. We want to help these men. He gives hours of his day to go to that jail and work with those men, go to that prison and work with those men. But one thing that we need is partners together. Luke chapter 10 verse 2 talks about praying the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers into the harvest. I can tell you in 14 years I've got a file in my file cabinet at home of guys that have helped us. Some of those are pastoring now. Brother Adams, the last one fixing to go. But some of them have just quit. They're not even church. They've gotten discouraged. They've gotten hurt. Or they've fallen into sin. And so we're constantly praying. I'm constantly looking for others that would come alongside us. I'm excited about Brother Matthew there and what God's doing there and what God's trying to help him do there. His goal and his dream for his area in Carthage and surrounding. And boy, wouldn't it be a blessing. And we're praying God would burden other men in other places. And I've been willing and have been in some to try to talk about prison ministry and some of the things that you do and some of the problems that you'll encounter and try to challenge them and encourage them and to help them to step out and reach those men. Because here's what happens. Every Sunday morning, if I'm home, I go to Lincoln Jail, Harbin Crouch Detention Center, about 11 miles from my house. Every Wednesday, if I'm there and I can get to my meeting afterward from 4 to 5, I go to Gaston Jail, just in Gastonia, not too far from here. And you know what will happen? I'd say several times a month when the service is over, brother, somebody will come and say, preacher, where do you go to church? I'd like to go to your church, man. That's what I need. And I'm like, well, I always recommend. I believe we've got a good church we can send them to. But I'll tell them I'm hardly ever there, but maybe two dozen times a year I'm somewhere preaching. But I think about Brother Matthew when he goes. He's like, man, I'm there. You know, I'm in the church. And when they come, here's a friendly face. Here's somebody that knows them. Here's somebody that's loved them. Here's somebody that's preaching to them. And the opportunity that's there to get those men in. I was looking in South Carolina today. The recidivism rate is somewhere around 35-45%, which is actually lower than the national average, if the paperwork I was looking at online today was correct. But what if we could reduce that? Just because some of you would be willing to go to a jail or a prison, be willing to spend some time locked behind bars, and be willing to love some guys that sometimes aren't too lovely, or some ladies. In the jails, the ladies have to go to ladies, and men have to go to men. My wife goes with me everywhere we go, except to those two jails. And we're always looking for more men and women that'll be willing to go, and sometimes they're all excited until they find out we didn't get home till midnight last night. And we left at 7:30, I think my wife said this morning, and we ain't been home yet. But we're not about an hour and a half from the house. We'll be home after a while, amen. We're not killing a pig in the morning at 9 o'clock, so I got a little bit of time in the morning, amen. Killed 109 chickens last Friday, praise God, Friday before last. Boy, says we need partners. That's something we need. That's something that, listen, if you quit having men and women surrender and go out, missions will die. Missions will cease to be. We need partners that are sincere. We need men that are willing and not flippant. Philippians 1 verse 10, the Bible says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. We need men and women that will be sincere about this thing. Amen. This is my life. If you haven't figured out this, I love what I'm doing. I'm grateful. I wouldn't do anything else. I like what I'm doing. I preached for one of our supporting pastors this morning that's without a pastor filling in for them. My pastor said, are you candidating? I said, no, sir. I'll make sure and tell them that up front. I'd be honored that they would call me, but I'm a missionary. That's what God's placed in my heart. That's what God sent me to do. And even in doing that, in the ministry I'm in, Brother, God allows me to help a lot of preachers. At least I try to help them. I want to help them. I have a desire to help them. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm preaching Wednesday night for a pastor who has to be away. Matter of fact, that about seven times. He said, Brother Joe, my folk want you to come. He said, if you can come, I want you to preach for me. I'd love to. And go in and try to help his people. He wants me to show. He said, listen, would you show some of them pictures from the Philippines that you made while you was over there? Well, we didn't make about 800. But yeah, I'd be glad to show a few. You know what I'm doing? I'm fishing. I'm fishing for more men and women that'll sell out like I did at the age of 20 and say, God, I'll go. I'll go. I'll give up my ambitions and my dreams, little as they were when I look back at them now, and do what you want me to do. We need other partners that'll go with us. We need men that'll walk beside us. Your pastor needs men that'll walk with him. The youth group, those in the youth department need partners that'll labor with them. That'll clean up the mess, amen. Amen. That'll go along behind. Before I was so busy traveling, that was my job. I'd kind of go with pastor behind and fix stuff that got broke. That was just a blessing that we had to do. And men preachers would be out there fellowshipping together and fixing whatever it was, if it was a wall or a door or something. Because when you have people, you're going to have those type of things. Amen. We need partners. Secondly, we need prayer. Amen. I look at these pictures all around and missionaries in different places. Do you pray for them? If you hadn't got our prayer card, pick it up back there. You know, I know some of y'all pray. You know how? December next month will be 2 years since I was in the hospital. Didn't say a lot about it. We did put out a letter about it, but I'll never forget January. It'll be two years. I got a check and a letter from this church. Said, "Preach, we're praying for you. No, you can't come preach right now. Come when you can. Thought you might need some help." And somebody'd been praying. And you don't know what a blessing that was for a missionary to know that a church, another state, cares. And those guys in the Philippines, but you've got guys in Taiwan, you've got guys in Japan. If you've got a missionary in Vietnam, they had the tail end of the storm that destroyed Leyte and Tacloban. How can I pray for the missionary, preacher? How do we pray? Let me give you several things you can pray for. Pray for the missionary's heart. What do you mean, preacher? I mean his ministry, where he's at. I live five and a half years in Grenada. Part of me is still there. That's my second home. Amen. I love those men. We've got kids that got saved that have grown up. Two of them are married to pastors. Two of them are pastors' wives. They're married to preachers. Amen. Some are Sunday school teachers. And when I go back, they're now 30 and 35, and they've got a family. And they say, "Pastor Joe, just want you to know I'm serving God." What a blessing. And the missions dollars that was invested in 92 to 98 is still working, still growing, fruit still being applied. Pray for the pastor. Pray for that missionary's heart. Pray for where God's placed him. When I go to, my eyes affect my heart. I can't talk about the Philippines right now, but I'm getting tore up as I see. Matter of fact, the one church building that was pictured was sent, I preached in that building in 2010. And I don't know structurally what will have to be done there. Sometimes those buildings have to be torn down. And millions and billions of dollars, no doubt, in the Philippines right now will have to be spent to rebuild. Need to pray for their heart. What about the health of the missionary? Need to pray for their health. A lot of sickness going on. Brother Vernon, one of our deacons, got sick over there with stomach issues, and I've dealt with that for about 19 years. And I tried. I told my wife, I said, "I'm trying to be understanding. Like, man, I don't know if I can make this." And I'm like, "I deal with this every day. You know, it's just one of those things." And of course, I tried to share with him some of the things that had helped me and tried to help him get better. You got missionaries in places. Dengue fever right now is rampant in the Philippines, what I understand. That was something they were concerned about. It's a mosquito-borne illness. Then you've got others, other diseases and problems and the stress and the pressure of those. We need to pray for the health of the missionary. Need to pray for their heart. Need to pray for the home of the missionary. Amen. My dear wife, when we lived overseas, and our kids are grown. They did like Jerry Clower said, though. My oldest come back and brought six more with her 18 months ago, and they're still with us. Amen. But when we were on the island, I'm out there preaching, I'm out there studying, I'm visiting, I'm doing this. She's teaching homeschool. She's cooking on a gas stove. And matter of fact, in the Bahamas, a propane refrigerator. We're carrying water in to drink at that point. And she's just making it go. And sometimes the missionary's wife's left, and she's forgotten. And she wears a lot of hats, a missionary's wife in another country especially. But even here today, she's my secretary. Matter of fact, she's my chauffeur. That's how I got here tonight. Mama brung me, amen. We just ride around together. She likes driving, and I've learned that I can sleep better because we don't fuss if I don't look. Amen. And so we get along real well. Pray for the health and the home of the missionary. But I love my wife, and she's been a blessing. But you need to pray for the home of the missionary. Because if I don't have her, I'll be honest, I don't have a ministry. I've got to just go back to work or whatever. Need to pray for the home. Need to pray for the health. Need to pray for the hindrances, the problems that come up. Just like you've got problems here, the missionary's got problems. Sometimes they're magnified because they don't have the things that we have here. Amen. Need to pray for the harvest of the missionary. Amen. That God would bring in. God would bring in many souls. That's my life. That's what I live for. We had several hundred on that trip to the Philippines. Praise God. Had 121 in the prisons and jails this year. Had one, I think, in the churches this year. That's exciting. They said, man, all you do is run. No, I like to ride. I'm too fat to run. Amen. I ought to run, but I can't. Ride and fly, praise the Lord. She said, I ain't never been to Honduras. It's a 5-hour bus ride. I said, what kind of bus? Amen. I done been on some of them buses. I don't know if I want to ride 5 hours. Need to pray for the missionaries, for the prayers. Then last of all, the provisions, of course. And you folk have been such a blessing to my family, and I know of others. I look around the wall, and I look on the mission board in the back. What a blessing. The attitude, Philippians 14. Let me give you this verse. Our time's just about gone, and I'll stop on time. I promise we will. Verse 10, Paul said, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished. Again, wherein you were careful but you lacked opportunity, Paul was thanking God for the attitude of giving of the Philippian of the Philippian people. I've got Philippines in my mind. I keep getting, but the church of Philippi had a desire to help Paul. And you, of course, you know that those that passage and what a tremendous passage of Scripture it is. I don't want to be a missionary. I purpose my heart not to be that. I'm not a beggar. I'm a missionary. And I thank God for the privilege of being so. Amen. And I want to be busy. I don't have to try to just be ashamed to take the support that comes in. I want to use it for the glory of God. Amen. If God comes today, I want it to be used to see others come to know Jesus Christ. Amen. We do need helpers. Matter of fact, when this church picked us up, and I shared this with Pastor, and I share this to you as a blessing, the month you picked us up, I had lost that exact amount of support the month prior. Nobody knew. We didn't tell anybody. We just talked to the Lord, and I get a check. And I told Becca, I said, wait a minute, it's different. It says support. And I talked to you, Pastor, and he said, yeah, we picked you up. And that was a blessing to me to know God's still taking care, just like he said he would do. He's providing just like he said he would do. How can you do that? How can you go? I had somebody, we've been trying to get an iPad. I'm like, man, I can buy an iPad, but I can go to Honduras and maybe reach somebody for the Lord. That's just the way I look at it. Now, I'm not against having one, amen. One day the Lord will work it out and we will. But their souls dying 6,000 an hour, 153,000 a day. Somebody's got to reach them for Jesus Christ. Three things a missionary needs. He needs partners. He needs people to walk along with him, to co-labor, to work together. When I went with my pastor and my deacon, it was a blessing. We come back closer, preacher, than we'd been. Spent those 14 or 12 days where it was together, preaching, fellowshipping. And then, of course, Brother Vernon got sick and trying to take care of him. He roomed with me, and I was trying to share some of the things that I had found that worked in my problems with my stomach over the years and trying to help him. You know what he said? He wound up having to go to the doctor when he got back here. He said, Brother Joyce, I'd go back in the morning with tears in his eyes. We're supposed to go back, if God lets us live, March of 2015. Hopefully my wife's going. We're going to work and try to get in the schools again and preach. We need partners. We need your prayers. We need your prayers for God's power, our health, and our home, the ministry, and the heart. Those millions that are dying behind bars that need somebody to love them. And we do need your provisions. But so does all those other missionaries that you folks so kindly support. You pray for them. You love on them. Three things every missionary needs. Pastor, I turn the service back to you.